Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albracht, Tommy Kester alongside you. Getting you ready for big college basketball showdown of Blue Bloods tonight. KU, Michigan State playing. We'll dig in there. We'll dig into a little bit of what happened on Monday Night Football. Turn the page onto the next week of the NFL. Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, joins us coming up at the top of the next hour. A lot to discuss with Dan, like a whole lot. All the good, some bad. How do we look forward? What are we projecting? All of these things we'll get into with the Chiefs, and we'll do that here in the first hour as well. We're taking your calls on the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. That's brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves, all your favorite, just $6 Monday through Friday. We have those. We have two different giveaways to get to today. We're going to give away some tickets to Cody Jinks at Intrust Bank Arena. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, 11 days from now. You'll have a chance to get some tickets there. You'll have a chance to win some HTO, all kinds of good stuff this morning. Tommy, how are you?
Hey, it's a busy day. I'm looking forward to jumping right into it. I know that we've got, like you mentioned, a lot to talk about with Dan Israel. Want to get his thoughts, of course, on the nail biter on Sunday, some things that maybe they could do at offensive line. And I know that that's going to take up a lot of our time today because that was asked of Andy Reid yesterday. And, you know, just that whole conversation about what are they going to do on the offensive line to try to make things better for them in the second half of the season. So I know that's been dominating the headlines the last couple of days or so. And I know it's an area we're going to spend a lot of time on today.
Yeah, it's a big topic of discussion, one halfway through the season, that I think is very relevant to the Chiefs' chances of winning a third Super Bowl. Far more important than, you know, winning all 17 of the regular season games, which is still in play. We'll get into all of it. We didn't even have a chance yesterday trying to get through all the NFL and college football and college basketball. We didn't even really talk a lot about what happened in KU's upset win over Iowa State. Shout out to the KU soccer team for conference championships. Just a lot going on this time of year as we try to navigate it all. So we will do that. We'll hit on that KU football game, KU fans. Don't worry about that coming up in just a little bit. Man, Monday Night Football, real quick, Tommy. Not a lot. It was an ugly game. It's great. These are two not bad teams, and you always appreciate that. They played a little bit poorly. I sort of look at all of these games through the lens now of, could this team be a threat to the Chiefs? And, you know, Miami has too long a road to climb to even consider it. Even if they did make it, I would tell you, no, I don't think so. And the Rams, I really don't think so either. As talented as they are at running back and their two lead receivers, and I like Matt Stafford, it's just these rosters aren't there. So, you know, it was an entertaining game. Wasn't a great money-making game like we'd hoped because of all the mistakes made. But no threat to the Chiefs. Just cross another one off. No issues there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rams are a team that, you know, they're so up and down, where that, you know, kind of underperforming with the talent that they've got. Kyren Williams is one of the best running backs in the league. You know, of course, they've got two of the best wide receivers in the league as well. And I think Matthew Stafford is somebody that can absolutely get the job done. He has in the past in his career. But you're right, it was mistakes. That was really what cost the Rams. And letting the Dolphins hang around and keep a lead and then extend that lead to a point to where, you know, just the time ran out for the Rams to be able to try to come all the way back. The Dolphins, you know, with Tua back under center, they'll win more games. There's no doubt about that. In that division, really, it's the Bills that they've got to try to, you know, catch. And I think that they're too far behind them to be able to do that. The Jets are done. The Patriots aren't going to do anything. So it's really chasing the Bills. But I think the Bills have put too much distance between them and the Dolphins. So it is what it is for both of those teams. I think it's more disappointing for the Rams because the NFC West is kind of wide
open.
It's open.
Yeah.
And they could certainly be a team that could battle and compete with the Niners and the Cardinals and even the Seahawks, who I know get DK Metcalf back this weekend. It's a wide open division, and I think the Rams had an opportunity to really continue in that pursuit, and they were unable to do that last night.
At home, the Rams are an interesting team because they would have a chance to get there. And like, you know, it always starts with quarterback. They obviously have a quarterback that can get it done, but they're kind of the same as a lot of teams that maybe should be better that aren't, because they're not very good on the offensive line and they got healthy and were still not very good. So, and I do think there are a lot of teams right now that are in that same boat. I think you could put the Texans in that boat right now. I think you could put Cincinnati in that boat right now. I think the Jets, maybe to a lesser degree, you could put in there, but teams that should be doing better than they are, but they're just getting nothing on the offensive line. And I think the Rams are there too. But here is the discussion of the day with the Chiefs. Can you really get better at offensive line within a season? Right. And that's really interesting. The Chiefs certainly are not in the same category as those, because the Chiefs have, you know, the best interior offensive line in football, probably. But these teams, like, it's amazing all of the things we look at in football, and it just still always comes down to, like, it begins in the trenches. Like, can you block? And a lot of these teams where we look at them are like, man, they should be better than they are. That's where it starts for almost all of them. They're just not very good on the line.
Have you been following the drama in Cleveland with their offensive line over the last 24 to 48 hours? So I think this is a long shot, but I read about this and I thought, man, like, that's intriguing and something I kind of want to follow. So Jed Wills, who was the starting left tackle for the Browns, I believe he was a first round draft pick back in maybe 2020 for the Browns. He made a, quote, business decision. That's what he said. He made a business decision to set out a game a couple of weeks ago. Didn't play in it. He had hyperextended a knee. Said he probably could have gone, but he decided to, like, basically take himself out and give himself another week. Well, he was demoted, and the Browns put another left tackle in there to start. And then Kevin Stefanski informed Wills that he would not be the starting left tackle moving forward. So in my mind, I'm like, hey, you know, Browns, if you're going to demote him, if he's not going to start, cut him, and maybe the Chiefs can then go and pick him up. I know it's a long shot. A lot would have to happen between now and then. But there is movement on other teams with their offensive lines, and there are opportunities, I think, out there for teams to get better in that regard because of what's happening on some of these other teams that find themselves out of contention, and there's drama and, you know, dissension in the locker room and all of this. Again, it's a long shot. I read that, though, and I was like, former first-round pick, left tackle, who was a starter, and he once out of Cleveland, and maybe there's something there. Probably not, but my point is that you can get better at offensive line over the course of a season, depending on what other teams do.
Yeah, for sure. It's wild how poorly the Chiefs have been at tackle. And on everything should be on the table, right? Like, literally everything should be on the table. I mean, you go and you try to find, like, tackle rankings right now in the NFL and, like, where guys are and where they rank. And the Chiefs don't even make the list of, like, the top 32. Like nobody does. Like nobody is on the list there. And so you're just like,
wait, if they don't make the top 32, does that mean backups from other teams are higher ranked than the Chiefs are?
Technically speaking, there's two tackles on every team. So you'd have to go to 64.
Okay.
So, but you're not finding them inside. I sent you something yesterday. And it's hard. Again, I know we've said it's really hard to tangibly rank linemen based on anything but what you see. But I sent you something yesterday, and this was from somebody, and I don't even know where these come, but it's one of the metrics that rank offensive linemen. A lot of you people use PFF. Of course, it's paywalled, but a lot of people will snip this stuff out. And so yesterday, I was exploring this in the 6 o'clock sports on 12 News of how do we really explain this to people, how bad it's been, other than just showing them the video, which we did, of snap after snap of Sua Mataia just getting absolutely dominated on Sunday. And you go and you look in this ranking system, Sua Mataia has allowed, think about this for a second. He has played about a quarter of the snaps of any other offensive lineman on the team. He's allowed the fourth most pressures of any of them. So his grading, they put it as clearly as they can. Like blue's fantastic, green is really good, yellow is average, orange is bad, and red is terrible. And Sua Mataia is red in run blocking, is red in pass blocking. Wanye Morris is yellow, at least in both, orange-ish, right? And everybody else is green and blue all over the board. It's just so glaring. And at that spot, we kind of put this way yesterday, and I still believe it. You can't run him out there anymore. Replacement value of anybody at this point feels higher than the kind of performance he put out there on Sunday. Literally anybody. I mean, it was that bad. And it wasn't just that bad to our eyes, which of course it was. It disrupted the offense because they kept trying to have, players come over and help. And then when players came over and helped, whoever it was on, the miscommunication was there. Like if a tight end was over there, there was no communication, and the pass rusher would just come around the other side. I don't know whose fault that is. Or on a play where, and they were talking about this one in the broadcast, where the running back's over there trying to help. But again, it's either a missed block, missed assignment, miscommunication, whatever it is, every single play something went wrong at left tackle when Sua Mataia was in there. Almost every play. It was laughable. It was a joke. And they can't run their offense when that happens.
Andy Reid yesterday in his weekly media session, of course, that was one of the main topics of conversation with him. And as great as Andy Reid is, he's the king of not giving you anything in media availability, and he's going to, basically give you the same prepackaged lines and really not do a whole lot that's going to be groundbreaking or anything. But he had some comments that I felt like, and I mean this with all due respect because I love Andy Reid, but it came off to me as disingenuous. It came off to me as, okay, you know that there's an issue. You're just not going to share anything with the media and everybody publicly because, somebody brought up, I don't know if it was specifically about Donovan Smith or if it was about veterans on the free agent market just in general, but the question was posed about outside help coming in at that position. And Andy Reid basically defers to Brett Veach and says, that's not my area, that's Brett Veach, which, okay, Andy, if you need a left tackle, you're going to go to Brett Veach and you're going to tell him this is what we need and he's going to go out and get it for you. You're Andy Reid. But kind of deferring to Brett Veach on that, but saying that, again, he loves the development of the young guys and that whether or not people can necessarily see it, they're getting better week by week. Those were his words, not mine. They're getting better week by week. I don't know. If you watched Kingsley Sua Mataia on Sunday, he was worse yesterday than even when he was out there starting the first two games, which were not good, but he was unplayable. And I think that was your word yesterday. He was unplayable on Sunday against the Broncos. So again, love Andy Reid, ton of respect for him. Those comments came off as disingenuous to me.
Well, they are. He's not going to give people anything. Never, historically, never will. It doesn't feel bad about it. You just got to kind of know that. I do think with two young players, a second year and a first year player, there is a world where the coaches could see good things happening in practice. Like I can even, like, even whether it's true or not, I could see that being a possibility. Doesn't matter on a Sunday. Like, they can't, you can't, okay, great. I'm glad they're getting better in practice. I'm glad they're developing. I'm glad you liked it, but they're not, you can't play them. You're either going to, at worst going to get Patrick Mahomes hurt. And, you know, at in the middle somewhere, they'll cost you a game, right? And then they're not, the Chiefs are 9-0 with them. So, you know, there's that side of it too. Like, they've been able to survive it, but they've been able to survive it now. It's becoming more and more glaring. Like, if Kingsley Suamataia started a playoff game against a really good team, I'm not sure I would say the Chiefs are going to win that game. The Bills will be an interesting test on Sunday. The Bills have the 12th best pass rush as far as sacks go. They have the 12th most sacks in football this year. Not quite as high as the Broncos, not quite as, you know, potent an overall unit as the Broncos. I don't think they have some dynamic, you know, edge rusher like that.
Well, Matt Milano is not going to play, and that's a huge blow, I think, to the Bills.
But they are a team that can create pressure in general. And so that's a good test. The Chiefs are not favorites in that game, and it's on the road. I get it. But, like, that's a good test. Wanye Morris has been good enough. I would have, and we talked about this just a little bit yesterday. Like, if it's Wanye Morris the rest of the way, I'm probably okay. I do think it can get better.
I don't even want to say good enough.
But I'm okay.
I mean, because I didn't think that's giving him too much credit. I think that he's been serviceable, and I think that he's got the benefit of playing ahead of Kingsley Suamataia. So to that point I made yesterday, it seems like a big step up, a big step forward when you go to Morris. Well, I mean, it is, but it's not like Morris is good, right? Like, it's still not good. In retrospect, and I've been thinking about this a lot, in retrospect, I wonder if there should have been more aggressiveness in the offseason to re-sign a veteran to at least have the depth, to have a roster spot for somebody at that position, Donovan Smith or otherwise, just because of what we're seeing now. I had questioned going into the season, because remember it was that the question about who was going to start between the two. I remember posing the question, maybe it should be neither of them, and they should probably go and try to, you know, at least get somebody else and let these two guys, especially Suamataia, grow if they want him to be the future starter at left tackle. The other point, too, and I think the Broncos did this, the Bills will certainly do this, other teams down the road for sure will, as long as that left tackle continues to be an issue for Kansas City. It doesn't really matter how great the interior offensive line is, because defenses will adjust and neutralize where the strength is on the line for Kansas City and do everything that they can to pour, you know, their personnel on the weak spot. I mean, that's exactly what, you know, they'll do, is they'll try to exploit the weak spot and try to, you know, maybe not do as much with the interior offensive line. The thing about the Broncos, while, you know, they may not have had like this top-tier pass rusher, they didn't really need to blitz. It was just standard pressure that they were able to get through, and I think that that's going to be obviously something that the Bills will try to employ also.
Yeah, and that's going to be the greatest threat to the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that right now. That will be their biggest challenge and threat. So let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll look at what's out there, what can you do, and also at the challenges of trying to solve this, because this isn't just a this year problem. They have thrown the kitchen sink at this position post Eric Fisher, and nothing has really worked. And this is the worst of it, what we saw on Sunday, I think. But it's never been fantastic. It's always been average at best. So we'll go back, we'll look at historically who they've been running out there since Fisher, since that Super Bowl loss, essentially, when this hole became, you know, apparent in every defense in football. I mean, the path is, it is what it is. It's pretty obvious when you play the Chiefs. You just, you know, you take advantage of that position and try and do other things without blitzing. But we'll come back. We'll talk about that. We'll have Dan Israel coming top of the hour. We'll also get into KU football this hour too, but we'll continue this discussion. Your comments on it, your suggestions on what the Chiefs can do are welcome on the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. You can also leave us your comments on our video stream, of course, on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, all open for you. It's all Brockton Caster at Sports Daily on a Tuesday. Don't go away.
Get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
You want to win some tickets to Cody Jinks and his Change the Game tour coming to Interest Bank Arena Saturday, November 23rd. Special guest Jason Boland and the Stragglers. Great old school band from this genre and a great up-and-comer. To win two tickets, text CODY, C-O-D-Y, to the short code 20357. Message and data rates apply. Text CODY, C-O-D-Y, to the short code 20357 for your chance to win. Good luck, everybody. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. I like Cody Jinks. Has a couple of songs. One that is one of my favorites of the last probably 10 years, Jason Boland and the Stragglers. I haven't seen them in a long time. They used to come through the local bar scene back in the Texas Panhandle a long time ago. It's been a while, but they're good too. It'll be a good show.
They've been around for a long time. I don't know that genre as well as you do, but I'm even familiar with Jason Boland and the Stragglers. So that'll be a really good show. Good.
You can win a pair of tickets on us. Good luck, everybody. All right, left tackle, Tommy. Since Eric Fisher, he had the year of Cam Irving when Fisher got hurt, so we won't count that. But since 2020, Orlando Brown Jr. was the first swing. They gave a lot for Orlando Brown Jr. They tried to sign him it was the Ravens, right, where he's a right tackle, make him a left tackle. He was okay. He was league average by most metrics and ratings and everything else, but he wanted to be paid like top left tackle. And after they gave everything up they gave to get him and everything, the Chiefs weren't willing to do that. He's now on to the Bengals, and he's doing fine. He's doing the same job he did basically for the Chiefs, about middle of the pack. Then they go and they pay a ton of money for Jawan Taylor, who has never played a snap at left tackle. Now, for the life of me, I can't figure out why that is. They also brought in Donovan Smith, which was a very savvy signing last year. He's an older player. He's still on the street, by the way. And Andy Reid was asked about him specifically in that question about the position yesterday, in which he diverted to Brett Veach. But Jawan Taylor, big swing and a miss, right? When you consider the fact that he hasn't been a great right tackle, he's paid like one of the league's best left tackles, and he's never played a snap at left tackle. Okay. Donovan Smith was a fine answer last year. Again, not great, but okay. And I would say, I'd have to go back and look, and maybe that's not as hard to do as I think it is. I feel like Donovan Smith last year is kind of equivalent, I guess, to Wanye Morris this year. And I'd have to find, and I need to get a PFF subscription, I guess. But I feel like he was average, maybe a little below average last year. And I feel like that's about where Wanye Morris is. You could bring him back as depth piece. Like I'm totally on board with that. For some reason, he's still sitting there. I don't know why that is. That could have something to do with it. But it can't be Kingsley Sumatia. Can't be.
It just can't. And
that's a second round pick they traded up for, Tom.
Yeah, so, but again, I'll keep going back to this. Like I'm going to cut Sumatia a little bit of slack. I'm just going to, because there should be developmental time. Even if you are a second round draft pick, there should be developmental time in allowing this guy to get acclimated to the league. And, he's thrown out there in week number one against the Baltimore Ravens as the starter. He beat out Wanye Morris. Then he's put back out there in week number two against the Bengals as the starter. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what did we do? This is a mistake. He's not ready. And so I feel sorry for him a little bit, because there should be some ramp-up time, probably more so than just OTAs and preseason and training camp, all of that. I think that he's got some potential. Now, will he be the starter at any point for the Chiefs in a year or two or however long? I mean, probably not. I don't know. He hasn't impressed me at all in that regard. But could he be a depth piece on the team? Sure, I think so. I just think that he needs some developmental time to get to that point, as opposed to just being thrown out there as the starter in week number one. And then you're pressed into having him go back out there when Wanya Morris has a knee injury. And so, you know, I was of the belief that they should have done something else, I think, going into this season, at least providing some more security and some depth. And there are other free agent left tackles that are out there right now outside of Donovan Smith. Couple of them are coming off of major injuries that, you know, you don't know if they're fully healthy. David Bakhtiari is a big name that is out there on the street coming off of a couple of major injuries over the last few years. So who knows if he's even ready to play in a game, or will he ever play in a game again? I have no idea. There's a couple of other names that are out there, but I mean, regardless, they've got to do something, because I agree with you. I mean, I'm not saying that Sua Mataia should be playing. What I'm saying is that I feel bad for him, because I don't think he was given an opportunity to develop in the league.
Well, you're right. Like, he hasn't been given the opportunity. He's just a rookie, and I'm fine.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With that, I'm okay with that. Right. I'm okay with him being a rookie, but that doesn't change the reality that
it doesn't change the reality.
They can't run him out there.
It is what it is. I mean, we're in this position. Hindsight is 20/20. I just wish they would have been a little bit more forward thinking on this, with the thought of, hey, look, he's a rookie. Maybe we ought to have some kind of contingency plan or something.
Rookie tackles acclimate pretty quickly. And I think the thought was, we really like Wanya Morris, and we obviously like Kingsley Suamataia. By the middle of the season, if we got to go to Kingsley, he'll be ready. Rookie tackles are good in this league all the time. He has not been. And Wanya Morris has been, you know, slightly below average. Think about this. Okay, since Fisher and since the Chiefs tried to solve this problem, do you remember what they traded for Orlando Brown? Here's what Kansas City traded to get Orlando Brown. They traded a first-round pick, a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a fifth-round pick. Now, they also got a second back, so keep that in mind, to get Orlando Brown, right? And then watch him walk away a couple of years later because he wasn't good enough. They felt like to be paid like that kind of left tackle.
And that was also reactionary, if you'll remember. I mean, it was right off the heels of their offensive line getting drubbed in the Super Bowl by the Buccaneers. And so it was 2 months later that they go out and they make a huge trade to bring in Orlando Brown. It was reactionary. That was, I think, we've talked about Brett Veach's MO before. We've talked about the way he likes to operate. I think that was something that was counter to the way that Brett Veach usually likes to operate. He wants to be proactive. He wants to get out ahead of things. Not reactionary, where you see just an absolute glaring issue, and then he's forced into going and giving up a bunch of assets to bring in somebody else like Orlando Brown. I think he'd rather be on the front end of that. That's why it was surprising to me that this wasn't addressed at a larger scale in the offseason, because now if they are going to do anything, it will largely be because of what the first 9 weeks of the year have looked like. He's going to be reactionary in that regard.
They moved up one pick to take Kingsley. So he's a second round pick, and then they did a bunch of pick swaps. So essentially now You've had a ton of money, a first, a second, a third, a fourth, and some swaps to try and solve. That is the those are the types of resources they've thrown at left tackle and not been able to solve the problem. There's been a lot of talk about how many misses they've had early with wide receivers. If you go back all the way to, you know, Mecole Hardman and, you know, whatever you think about Worthy. And I would say, though, that remember, Rashee Rice was an early wide receiver. So they, but left tackle, man, they just can't get it to stick. I don't know why Jawan Taylor sliding over there is not an option. I can't figure that out. And I know he's got his problems. It's got to be something where he just doesn't think he can, I guess, because that's what they brought him here to do. So, I mean, you just hope for good health for Wanye Morris and see what's out there. I would bet you this, Tommy, after what we saw on Sunday, the Chiefs are going to do something at the position. I don't think they're going to just keep rolling out there with a nicked up Wanye Morris and Kingsley Suamataia. And I don't know how quickly it'll happen. I would guess quickly. Yeah. I would bet you a dollar. I'd probably want, you know, plus 150 odds on that, that before the end of next week, the Chiefs have another left tackle in the room.
Here's the other thing that we are neglecting to talk about. It's one thing if it's Andy Reid and Brett Veach having these conversations about a veteran, whether it's Donovan Smith or who, by the way, had a social media post over the weekend where it was he posted a GIF or a GIF, whatever the kids are calling it these days. Somebody tweeted him like, hey, are you still available? And it was just a shrug, just kind of a I'm here. And he didn't say anything. That's all it was, you know, but he's available. So whether it's Donovan Smith or somebody else, Lucas Niang off the practice squad, whoever it is, we can talk about Brett Veach and Andy Reid all we want. You know who else has quite a bit of pull? Patrick Mahomes has a ton of pull. And this is the position that protects him the most, right?
Yeah,
and
he
so
was mad on
he was absolutely furious. And he should be, right? Like he is the franchise player. He is the most important player on the team, the most important player in the league. And, you know, they're throwing out there a rookie and a second year guy in Wanye Morris to protect him. And they've been terrible. They've been absolutely terrible. And so is Donovan Smith this outstanding left tackle? No, he was just good enough a year ago to get the job done and prevent left tackle from being a major issue last season. I have no idea if he's lost a step. I have no idea the amount of time it will take to get him up to game speed. And honestly, I don't care if it's Smith or somebody else. They've got to do something, though. And I would imagine that regardless of what happens with Veach and Reid or whatever, I'm sure Mahomes has made his voice heard also in regards to what they need to do at that position.
Brett Veach should be the most concerned that Patrick Mahomes is in danger
100%.
Right, in these games. I don't think Patrick Mahomes' biggest gripe is they can't run the offense they need to run.
Right.
And so, yeah. But Patrick Mahomes also understands, like, you can only do what you can do. Right. It's hard to trade for these players. Like you mentioned the Browns player. He'd have to get cut, clear waivers.
Sure.
And then it's not gonna happen. And so you have to basically either do something internally. Two things have been proposed by the media, which is slide Joe Tooney out to tackle, right? And Andy Reid said he's never considered doing that, even though I believe Tooney has done that in his career before. Or Donovan Smith because of the familiarity. And I don't care what they do. Again, I would bet you a dollar that before the end of the week, they do something, the end of next week, they do something. Because it's pretty simple. And we'll ask Dan Israel this in about 20 minutes. Like, you cannot put Suamataia out there for meaningful snaps and expect good things to happen. It's not going to at this point. Will it 2 years from now? Maybe. But I'm not worried about 2 years from now. I'm worried about Sunday against the Bills. I'm worried about the Chiefs trying to win a third straight Super Bowl. And right now, he's not good enough. And he will cost them a game in the playoffs if he is the starting left tackle. Because that you just can't count on continuing to get, you know, in a lot of ways, lucky. And I know it's luck that they're generating. So lucky is not the right word, but you just can't count on the ball bouncing your way as much as it has through this 9-0 start.
I think you got to take it a step further, though, too. And this isn't a pile-on session just overall with left tackle. But, yeah, we can focus on Suamataia because you're absolutely right. The guy is unplayable. Wanya Morris, I believe, will also cost them a game at some point. Do you remember the games throughout the season? There, I can remember two, I think, specifically, where there were like crucial, I think, back-to-back holding calls on Wanya Morris late in the game. Now, ultimately, the Chiefs won those games, but had they not, the conversation, even in what, week four, week five, whenever it was, would have been, Wanya Morris cost us the game. And so it's not just Sua Mataia. And I want to be clear about this. We can talk all day long about, you know, well, Morris, you know, has been able to step in and handle it. I guess he has. But he gets the benefit of playing ahead of a guy who is unplayable. It doesn't automatically mean that Wanya Morris is the answer to the question. And being able to, even if he is healthy, even if he, you know, wasn't dinged up, I don't think he's the answer to the question either right now. I don't think it's either one of those guys. By and large, can Morris, I guess, get the job done? Maybe. But there will be crucial situations. There already have been this season where Morris has cost them. And fortunately for the Chiefs, they've been able to pull wins out. I think you've got to look at it in a larger view and not just Sua Mataia is unplayable. It's both of them.
I agree with that. I think, you know, again, the comparison is you're not comparing Morris to the best, that you're comparing him to maybe the worst left tackle.
100%. But he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt because he's playing ahead of the worst tackle
but
in the NFL.
He doesn't. And here's the reality now that maybe makes it easier. He isn't healthy.
Right.
Okay. So it doesn't matter anyway. He's not healthy. And there is a decent chance to a good chance he's going to have to come out in games. And then you're stuck with what we saw last week. We'll ask Dan Israel about this coming up in about 20 minutes. When we come back, though, let's get to KU football, that win over Iowa State. You know, I think when we talk about KU football now, there's two things happening. KU, for KU fans, it's can they make a bowl game and win all these games? For K-State fans and everybody else, it's can they beat Colorado? And I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to here. So we'll talk about that win, what it means next. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. We will come back. We've got more to give away later in the show, so keep it here for your opportunities to win some HTO. Dan Israel coming up. Talk a little more about this with left tackle and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's top of the hour. It's Albrecht and Castor on Sports Daily. Don't go away. Crestview Country Club is still very busy. Of course, the weather we've had the last couple of days means great golf continues. My wife is playing tennis. Some might say too much tennis, but a lot of tennis, we'll put it that way. And then, of course, there's all the other fun stuff that doesn't have anything to do with any of that, but the great restaurant, they have Thanksgiving brunch, which is very popular. They do a big New Year's event. You can take Thanksgiving home from Crestview. There's all kinds of stuff, and they have a kids club if you just want a night out. All of that stuff available in memberships that just include that stuff. So give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. All right, Tommy, let's talk KU football now. Since we didn't get a chance yesterday, we'll go and talk KU basketball tonight in the second hour. But win over Iowa State. Look, I thought they were going to win this game. I thought it would be a hotter take than it was. Then they ended up only being 2.5-point dog. So I guess it wasn't that hot of a take. It looked like they were going to dominate this game. And then the same old KU shows up. They almost let it go, just like they have in, well, almost every game this year. But they do hang on. They do get the job done. I got to tell you, I think being able to get the job done probably means more to this team than it might in normal circumstances. They finally closed one out, Tommy, in a game like this. And it almost seemed impossible that they could blow it. And yet it was like, are you kidding me? Like, this can't be a real thing, but they got it done. And I think that has lasting effects. I think it can anyway.
I think that there's a real scenario where their record currently at 3-6, you could flip flop those wins and losses.
Absolutely.
And they could easily be 6-3 or, you know, maybe even better than that because it's all been the fourth quarter. It's all been the way that they close out games. It was that way against Iowa State on Saturday. The fortunate thing for the Jayhawks was that they had built up such a lead that while it seemed insurmountable, I mean, Iowa State did everything that they could possibly do. I mean, it was a valiant effort from Matt Campbell's crew to get back in the game. And at one point, I mean, you and I were texting back and forth. I'm like, they're going to lose this game. Like, and you just get bitten so many times that you start to become fearful of that, of all of that. When, you know, all of a sudden Iowa State, what they made it a one possession game at one point, right? Like, wasn't it an 8-point lead for the Jayhawks? I think right before the pick six that Melo Dotson had to really kind of seal the deal. It was fortunate that they were able to pull it off, because that's been their Achilles heel all season long. My hope is that you finally held a team off in the fourth quarter. You finally were able to check that win column.
Even though you allowed them to score 16
points in the fourth quarter, the hope is that they can use that to propel them in the final three games.
It was a balanced attack. The offense was fantastic. The defense still sucks. I don't know why that happened to them, but it has. But, you know, now the offense is where we thought it would be. And it's been enough in that game. You look at the game this weekend against BYU. Now, it doesn't really mean all that much anymore, but Kansas is only a 3-point dog in that game on the road, if that tells you anything. And I think that's accurate, right? I think that's fair. I don't know that I'm going to take Kansas this week just because it's that nighttime road game out there, but I do think it's very fair. I think it's a very fair line based on how good teams are. And so, you know, for KU, you got to win them all. I absolutely think that's on the table. I think that they can. I think that it's possible. You know, will they?
There's a major difference between can they and will they. I think they absolutely can.
I'll give them about a 40% chance to do that.
See, I was going to go a little bit less. I think that I'm looking more like 35% chance.
Well, I get which is the bigger challenge, going and playing in Provo or hosting Colorado? I think hosting Colorado is actually the bigger challenge, because the way their defense is played, like the thought of KU's defense stopping Colorado is troubling to think about right now. It's basically, can they keep up in a track meet? And look, yeah, I think they can.
I think they can.
You know, because they did against Iowa State, who's probably better defensively than Colorado is. So here we go. And for everything that we care about around here, and K-State's got to handle their business. I get it. But like, everything focuses in on that Colorado game. Everything. If we want a team in the playoff, if we want a team in the, like, it all comes down to KU and can they beat Colorado, because it just is very unlikely to me that Colorado loses to either Utah or Oklahoma State at home. That's the reality of this thing.
I think before Saturday's game, I probably would have said that I thought the BYU game in Provo was a more daunting task for the Jayhawks than playing Colorado at home. Remember, BYU almost lost on Saturday to Utah. I mean, they did not play well, and there was controversy at the end of that game. And Utah controlled that game for the majority of it. BYU found a way to win. That's what they've done all season long. But I think it shows me that even though BYU is still undefeated, they are vulnerable. Now, at home, at night, in Provo, that's a little bit different. But I actually would agree with you now that I think that the more daunting task for Kansas will be playing Colorado at home than going out to BYU this weekend.
BYU beat Utah by a point. They beat Oklahoma State at home by 3. They beat Baylor by 6.
They blew out Kansas State at home. I mean, like, they're a Jekyll and Hyde team.
Yeah, they crushed K-State in one of the, honestly, probably the strangest college football game I've ever seen in my life. But good win for KU. Just keep playing well. It's on the table. Look, bowl game's on the table. Very much so. These games, that game against Colorado, that's not going to be more than a 3-4 point spread, I don't think. I don't think it will be. If it's on the road at BYU's only 3, then that's, you know, that's what we're going to be looking like with that one. All right. The video streams are open for your comments, your questions for Dan Israel. We've got some comments there that we'll get into in the second hour. Rick, Ken checking in. We'll check in on KU basketball tonight in the second hour. But when we come back, it's our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel. If you have a question for him, you can leave those on YouTube, on Facebook, on X, and we will get those to Dan. We will certainly talk about this wacky and crazy 9-0 start, including a blocked field goal for a win, but also the challenges that have come that we've spent some time with over the last couple of days at left tackle. We'll get into all of it. That IHOP hotline will be open after that in the second hour. We'll give away some HTO in the second hour. So keep it here. Dan Israel next on Sports Daily. It's Albrecht and Castor on a Tuesday.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.